invite to join. So we've been kind of tag teaming, which has been really neat, because like, I think rightly, it's the Word of God. The Word of God is what's important, but He uses different individuals that see things a little differently at times. And what's really been neat is to see how, you know, what Josh brings forward really speaks to me, really, I've studied it, you know, really cheers me. So I really enjoyed the time, Josh, and I hope other opportunities with other men, perhaps, to do this. But we've been going through the book of Romans. Well, I think what Josh was trying to get to was, what's the main theme or purpose of the book of Romans? Yeah, we got the key verse, which is great, but the main theme is the gospel of salvation. That's what Romans is all about. From front to end, it's all about the gospel. And so we do have this key verse. It is 17, by the way. 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is demonstrated, is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, for the righteous shall live by. I have the man in italics because it's individual, it's not even there. But the righteous shall live by faith. All right, but the righteous shall live by faith. So that's the key verse. What I like about key verses is kind of something to hang my hat. So if you mention to me that you're in a Bible study, you're going through the book of Romans, man, the key verse strikes in my mind, and okay, I know what that book is all about. It's about the salvation. It's about the gospel of Christ. I shared this before. Don't worry if you can't see it. It's a one-sheet thing. Come and ask me if you want a copy of it. This is the gospel outline. This is something I learned in sharing. I used to ride a train up to San Francisco from San Jose to San Francisco, and I'd be sharing with people, going through the gospel outline, going through the gospel outline. So what I'm really encouraged is a five-point outline. This is a five-point outline. Within the five-point outline, there's usually three sub-points and two verses with each one. Offer made, offer is needed, offer is just, offer accepted, offer rejected. You have five fingers, right? I love five, because you have five fingers. Offer is needed, offer made, offer is needed, offer is just, offer accepted, offer rejected. There you go. So you can memorize that, you can memorize the sub-points, you can memorize the verses, and when you're on the train, you're working with somebody, you're sharing with somebody, you can go through that gospel outline. And you stop it, accept it. You warn them, rejected. Anyway, that's the gospel outline. Now we're looking at the gospel. We've gone through this. It's a tool, by the way. The gospel outline is a tool. There's another one called the Romans Road. Maybe you've heard the Romans Road. That's another very good one as well. Romans is about the gospel. So, yeah, you're going to see a lot of verses from the book of Romans. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay? Because of the gospel outline, I've got all those things memorized. It's been a while for me, though. All right. As I shared before, every letter Paul writes to a church, I'm not sure about Timothy and Titus, but to the church, always divides into two parts. Divides into two parts. I call it doctrine and discipline. Some people don't like the word discipline because it sounds like you're spanking someone. You know, it's the discipline, like if you're a weightlifter, okay, you go to the gym Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and you pump weights, and it's a discipline for you. I try to get out and walk 7 miles a day. It's a discipline. I get out at 1 o'clock, time for my walk. That's a discipline. So that's what it's talking about. Doctrine and discipline. It's about teaching and training. It's about what we should know and what we should do about it. Okay, that's the easy way of doing it. And Romans divides at chapter 12, chapters 1 through 11, and chapters 12 and on. Okay, and this verse here I've got outlined has thrown a lot of people. I believe what's going on here is the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. From faith to faith. What's that about? It's the first half of Romans, the second half of Romans. Salvation is by grace through
faith.
Yeah, faith. Through faith. Mike Moody was complaining. We don't want L. No, it was Louis Boyer. You know, we're not a responsive group. That's all right. Salvation is by grace through faith. You come to Christ through faith, through believing in the gospel. And then you live the Christian life to faith. It's still faith. It's still every day is faith. So that's what's going on here. All right. So from chapter 12 and on, this is kind of difficult, but it's a quick outline of chapter 12 and on. And you see I've separated up into different chapters, the chapters. But Josh did an excellent job of these three. Do not judge, do not stumble, do not avoid. That's chapters 14 and the first part of chapter 15. Josh, I like what Josh had, though. This was what I had, but I like Josh's. You notice mine are all negative. Josh's are all positive. I like that. So go ahead and take Josh's, not mine. That's fine. But I only bring this up because I do know Josh and I had kind of a different idea, a different view of the weak and the strong. And I want to share that with you, a little bit of how I see weak and strong, because maybe it'll bless you. Maybe it'll bless you. Okay, who are the weak? Who are the strong? Who are the weak? Let me make it real clear to you. Who are the weak believers? It's all of you. Huh? What? Huh? It's all of you are the weak believers. Okay, what I want you to see is Paul, when he's writing, watch for the we's and the they's. The we's and the they's. The they's are the third person. The we's are the first person, right? The they. It's all them. The weak are always the them. It's always a them. Okay? The weak believers. I believe what's going on here is Paul's trying to get me, Skip, who are the weak believers? All the other people. It's not me. In other words, it's those people who can't deal with electric guitars in the meeting. Oh, no, I can't have that. They're weak believers to me. I may be a weak believer to you. See, you get it? The weak is always the other person. When they're, and I want to stress what Josh pointed out. It's about non-essential things. There are essential things. You know, we talk about sin and things like that coming in. They're essential things. Doctrine, they're essential things. Who the person of Christ is, that's an essential thing. You know, the work of Christ on the cross, that's an essential thing. This is about the non-essentials, and Paul gave two examples. There are those who can eat meat, and those are those who can only eat vegetables. And Paul, if you notice, he's a Jew, and he's saying, yeah, the weak ones are the ones that only eat vegetables. Like Daniel. Not Daniel Hill. I'm talking about Daniel in the Bible, right? What was his? Vegetables. He's a weak believer. What? Daniel's a weak believer. It's about those who have a slightly different idea than I do. Okay, so you get it? What I want you to see in this section, and I want you to see because I didn't see it until recently, who does Paul give directions to in all of that section? The weak or the strong believer? Strong. He never says, you weak believers need to suck it up. You need to get over that. No, because you're strong. Do not judge. Do not stumble. And do not avoid. So we're going to bring electric guitars in here. But you're like, whoa, we're going to see flames are flying out here. No, do not stumble. Do not stumble. So all of that isn't for you, it's for me. You get it? All of that's for me. Skip. Don't judge. Skip. Don't stop. Skip. Don't avoid. So I wanted to share that. All right, so we're going to touch on the rest of 15. By the way, he only did 15, 1 through 6. That's all right, because 7 through 13, I think it is just a summary of the three. So, but we're going to look at Paul now. This is a challenging thing. I'm going to try and cover it all. It's a challenging section. But if you've seen, if you looked ahead, what people love about this section is watching someone stumble over them, all the names. There's a bunch of names in there, and I don't know how to pronounce them. So I'm going to stumble over them, you're going to laugh, and we'll have a good time about that. But I do want, when I was a young believer, I'd read sections like this. It's all personal stuff. I want you to greet so-and-so in Rome. Okay, so-and-so doesn't live in Rome anymore, by the way. Has long since gone to glory. So what do I care? I can't greet them. Oh, you know, so I just avoid, just skip over it. You know, you don't need to read for it. So where did God skip? So I asked, Lord, why do you put these in here? And I want to share with you what I got from it. Skip, look for Paul's example. He's just taught you doctrine. He's just taught you what you need to do. Now, watch him live it. So you get an example of what these things, of what receive one another looks like. You get an example of what building up one another looks like. You get an example of what pleasing others looks like in it. So we're going to go through these, and we're going to step through it pretty quick. Again, there's going to be a bunch of names, but we'll look through it. So let's read, and usually I like to read through it and then go back and look. Don't have time for that, I'm sorry. We're going to read through it. We're not going to avoid it. So but as we read through it, we're going to look at it, okay? We're going to focus on, we're on 15, 14 through 33 now. So turn in your Bibles, chapter 15, verse 14. And I've got it up on the board here in the New American Standard if you want. And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. Now, there are three things there. I got a pointer here. Full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. Does that sound like flattery? If you came to me and said, Skip, I know you're full of goodness. I'm looking for the butt. I'm looking for, yeah. So give me the tough stuff here. So Paul is giving them, hey, I know you've got all this goodness, and filled with all knowledge. Maybe he's speaking in tongue-in-cheek. And you're able to admonish each other, but I have written very boldly. You know, the book of Romans is very bold. Paul has never been to Rome, by the way. He's never been to Rome yet when he writes this thing. And he's writing very strong to them. I have written to you very boldly on some points so as to remind you again. He's written the gospel. We shared the gospel with you. Have you heard the gospel before? Most of you are believers. Right? You've heard the gospel. We need to continue sharing the gospel. We need to continue sharing the gospel. You get sounded in it. You get structured in it. As Paul will say here, because of the grace that was given to me from God to be a minister, I've got it here, to be a minister of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, to the Gentile, ministering as a priest of the God, the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. What's Paul talking about here? Remember the tabernacle we had set up here? Okay, the priest is inside the tabernacle. The high priest goes inside the Holy Holy. But we're talking about the priest. Okay, so you've stumbled in some area. You bring your sacrifice. You bring the lamb. And the priest takes to the... You set your hand upon. The sin is transferred to the lamb. And then the priest takes the lamb and sacrifices it and takes it over to the altar and presents it on the altar. Okay. What is the sacrifice Paul's talking about? We just heard it. Somebody finished the words. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's the sacrifice going on here. I love, Josh has done a great job. I have, because I can't get out of my mind his message of living on the altar. Do you remember that? Living on the altar. And daily I keep saying, I've slipped off the altar again. I slipped off the altar. Sorry, Lord. you crawl back on that altar, yep. Okay, daily, it's not something you just put there and you walk away. It's daily. And daily I keep finding, sorry, Lord, I'm off the altar again. Get back on that altar. So that's the offering. And Paul is offering, you've come to Paul as a Gentile, you've come to Paul, and Paul is presenting the Gentiles to God. He's presenting the Gentiles. Paul, the grace that was given to Paul, because of the grace that was given to me, is that Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. That was a, here's this Pharisee of Pharisees who would have nothing to do with the Gentile nations. And God says, I want you to go speak to the Gentiles. And Paul says, this was a grace. This was a grace given to me that I should be one who. Now, there were other apostles who went to the Gentiles. Don't get it wrong. But that's Paul's mind here, is that God called me to speak. His heart is for his own people. They've rejected, mostly rejected. But God tells me to go share with the Gentiles. And he's sharing with the Gentiles by the grace of God to be a minister of Christ to the Gentile nation. Ministering as a priest. Offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified not by Paul, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in Christ I have found reason for boasting. In Christ, that's why we sang that song, not I, but Christ in me. Therefore, in Christ I have found reason for boasting. Paul, have you ever led someone to the Lord? If you've led someone to the Lord, you know it wasn't me. The Lord had taught you. And you just delight that he used a donkey like me to do his work. That's Paul right here. Sharing the gospel with the Gentile nation. He's watching the Spirit of God do the work through the power of the gospel. Therefore, in Christ, I have found reason to boast in the things pertaining to God. For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, yet not I, but Christ in me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles in word and deed. That word obedience is the same, it's related to the word faith. That obedience is not that they do everything I tell them to do. It's their response to the gospel. If you're here today, the gospel has been presented to you. If you're here today and you still have not received him, you haven't been obedient. The Gentile nation has responded in large part. Someone like me heard the gospel and responded to believe. Came to the foot of the cross, bowed to me, my Lord, my Savior, my God. That's the obedience of the gospel. Not just in word. James would love this. Not just in word, but in deed. Remember, the deeds don't come before salvation. But it is a come for salvation. And the power and signs and wonders, in power of the Spirit. What's this power today? You know, if Susan Woodcock was here, Susan Woodcock was the woman who shared Christ with me. If she was here seeing me standing here preaching the gospel, she'd say, oh my God, I can't believe. I was so close, such a scientist, she could never penetrate. Gospel is the power of God in salvation. The power of signs and wonders. What power has been in your life? Or are you dead? God has no stillborn children. Power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem round about as far as Illyricum. Yeah, I'm going to stumble over these things. Illyricum, that's it. Illyricum. The Y sounds like a U. I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Illyricum. Yeah. And thus I aspire to preach the gospel not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another foundation. Another man's foundation. By the way, I write next to that verse, Jim Elliot. This was the verse that inspired Jim Elliot. He wanted to go somewhere where Christ had never been cured. But as it is written, they who had no news of him shall see, and they who have not heard shall understand. Paul is upset with the church. No, you don't go because you're upset with the church. No. It's because what was growing in the church, what was going on in the church here, was fine. He was good. He wanted to bring the gospel of power. And so he kept reaching further and further out, further and further out. Illyricum is modern-day Bosnia. See, I've got to read here. Illyricum. Bosnia, Serbia, Montenegro, Croatia. If you go to Italy and go right, go to Italy and you go east across the Adriatic Sea, that's Illyricum. It's a large area. Okay. Continuing on. For this reason, I have often been prevented from coming to you. But now, with no further place for me in these regions, and since I have had for many years a longing to come to you. Okay. What this is, what Paul's talking, it's not that Satan has been preventing. He wants to come there, but he knows there's a church in Rome, and there's so many places here that have never heard. So he keeps going here and here, all through Bosnia, all through Croatia, all through Montenegro. Now he wants to go to Rome. Why? Whenever I go to Spain, because he wants to go to Spain. Who doesn't want to go to Spain? He wants to go to Spain through Rome. For I hope to see you in passing and to be helped on my way there by you when I have first enjoyed your company for a while. But now I am going to Jerusalem serving the saints. So what's happening here? Paul is carrying a gift to help the persecuted church in Jerusalem. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Macedonia and Achaia is up the upper part of Turkey, I believe it is. Yes, they were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things. So what Paul's talking about here is, remember, the church began in Jerusalem. The church began among the Jews and expanded. God, Christ told them, beginning in Jerusalem, and then all Judea and Samaria to the uttermost. Okay. And so that's where it's been growing. Paul is part of that growing here. And Macedonia feels indebted to the saints in Jerusalem. And we read in his letter, they are anxious to share. What can we do? How can we share? So Paul is taking ministry to the saints in Jerusalem, because what's going on in Jerusalem right now is if you name the name of Christ, you're outcast. You're outcast. By now I mean in the time here, not so today. Therefore, when I have finished this, the ministry to Jerusalem, and have put my seal on this fruit of theirs, I will go on by way of you to Spain. And I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Okay. By the way, we know how this ends. He ends up going to Rome in chains. The boat sinks, and he ends up on Malta. And he ends up in Rome, in prison in Rome. I think he's in prison twice in Rome. Still looking at the light. And, again, this is the light. Paul's heart for the life of the church. The life of the church is a spirit moving, and his heart is the growth of that church, the whole church of Christ, taking the gospel to new areas. That's where my heart should be. That's where your heart should be. Taking the gospel to others, sharing the gospel with others. Now I urge you, brethren, by the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea. That disobedient to Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints. And strive together with thee in your prayers. God. So that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Have the end. That's the first ending. That's the first ending. But he finishes here. And by the way, that's how I get the separation, right? I know. He says, we're done. Oh, wait a minute. Last bit. You know, the Columbo thing. Oh, one more thing. I know. But only a gray hair would know what that was. All right, so beginning, now he's talking about the unity. We talked about the life of the church, Paul's heart, and again, I'm supposed to be looking at him as an example. Is my heart like Paul's here? His desire to share the gospel with others. Now for the unity. Here's where we're going to start tripping over some names. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you. For she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risked their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. Again, you're going to trip over, I'm going to trip over some of the names. Also greet the church that is in her house. Greet Epaphroditus. Yeah, okay. Greet this person, my beloved, who is the first convert to Christ from Asia. By the way, Asia here is not the Asia I keep thinking of. I keep thinking it's China. No, it's Asia Minor, that area. So that would be Turkey, I believe. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Eunius, my kinsmen and fellow prisoners, who are outstanding among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachus, my beloved, greet Apelles, the approved of Christ. I love some of what he said about the approved of Christ. I'd like that to be Skip. Greet Skip, the approved of Christ. Or just beloved. What does that say to you? I have a beloved. Do you have a beloved believer? There are two people I've come to know that I really count as beloved. Paul. Would be Bob Hegler. He was best man at our wedding. Bob Hegler, roomed with him for many years. He's now with Glory. And Mark Powell. You don't know him. But Mark Powell was a guy that we played tennis together. And he could see if I was struggling with things and talk them through. A great man of God. I hope you have a beloved. Someone that you really are close to. Greet Herodian, my kinsman. How would you like that? That'd be a tough name to have. Would you? Herod? Herodian? My kinsman, greet those of the household of Narcissus. By the way, I looked this up. There's apparently Greek mythology. This person who was in love with himself. And that's where we get the Narcissus from. I don't know if this is his real name or they just gave it to him because he's so pretty. He's a pretty man. Oh well. Anyway, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Trufosus, workers in the Lord. Greet Persis, the beloved, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord. Greet Isaac, a choice man in the Lord. Greet Rufus, a choice man of the Lord, also his mother and mine. Oh, so many days. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Atrobus, and Pernus, and the brethren with them. Okay, so are you getting this? What I'm getting at is there are a lot of people here. He's never been to Rome. How do you know all these people? He's never been to Rome. What I see is that unity. I see that unity we talked about. The unity. What? Again, I'm gonna pick on Josh. Okay. Josh did a great definition of unity. Do you remember it? Josh's definition was a two-pointer. I wrote it down here. Unity was consider others and disregard self. You get that? I mean, what I love about Proverbs is there wisdom in very few words. And that was so captured. That's unity. Consider others. Disregard self. Do you live that? I see it in Paul. See the example in Paul? All these people. You want it. I'm not going to write a letter to Rome and not mention these people. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Now we end. No? One more thing. Now the heart for purity. Now the heart for purity. Paul's heart for purity. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissension and hindrance, contrary to the teaching which you have heard, and turn away from it. And we heard this morning about this just today, about divisions. Keep your eye on those who cause dissension. So my first and your by example, you, my first thought is, am I someone who causes dissension? Who causes division? Lord, may it never be. May the Lord strike me dead on the spot before I ever cause dissension. And hindrance is contrary. And I'm confident several of the men, but particularly Josh, keep your eye who caused dissension, who caused division, who caused split. We talked about. Many of you don't know this. Many years ago, we had music going on, electric guitar. I didn't know it because we sit up front. There were individuals, I won't mention it, individuals get up and leave. It ended up in a split. It's fine. Should never happen. Something like that. Keep your eye on those who would cause division. And avoid. Are you strong enough? You don't cause division. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Jesus, but of their own men. They build themselves up by their smooth and flattering speech. They deceive the heart of the unsuspecting. Do not be unsuspecting. Sometimes I can be very flattering in speech. Do not be unsuspecting. Even if they ignore me, I never be. I should. For the report of your obedience has reached to all. Therefore, I am rejoicing with you. But I want you to be wise in what is good, innocent in what is evil. Jake, are you hearing that? I want you to be innocent in what is evil. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan. Would you like that to be? God of all grace will crush Satan out of your people. For I have the obedience. You listen to what the Word of God says. That's the discipline of the second part of Paul's letter. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. No, now we got some last bit. Yeah, by the way, I remember our orchestra leader once, gave us a piece of music, and it was just like this. It had like four endings in it. And he said, we're going to do this piece. And just like what happened when it was first done, you know, conductor finished and ends like this, and everybody claps and gets up and gets ready to go. Four times. That's what this feels like, doesn't it? He ends and then he picks it up again. Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. And so do Lucas and Jason and Sosthenes, my kinsmen. I, Tertius, who write this letter, Paul's dictating, Tertius is writing it, who write this letter, greets you in the Lord. Gaius, host to me, and the whole church greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, greets you. And Quartus, our brother, greets you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. That's you. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past, but now is manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, leading to the obedience of faith. All right. Establishing. When we planted a new tree in our front yard, right about hurricane season. Not smart, right? So we plant this new tree, and I need to establish this tree. I want it to hold up against the wind. That's what Paul's talking about. You take a new believer, and you need to establish him. How do you establish him? Yep. That's my alarm telling me shut up. I'm sorry. And I'm ignoring you. Anyway, so you take a new believer, and one of the things we were doing with one believer here, I won't mention names, so now we take the book of Genesis. And we're going through the book of Genesis, but we're looking at the gospel. Why? Because we want a foundation. We want to establish in the gospel. That's what you do with a new believer. You establish it. You strengthen that belief in the gospel. And what is the mystery? The revelation of the mystery, which has been secret past. The mystery is the gospel of Christ. The mystery is the gospel of Christ, but it has now been manifest. The righteousness of God has been manifest in the gospel. For in it, the power of God, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So the mystery Paul talked about is in the very gospel he's been hitting you with in the book of Romans. But now it's manifest by the scriptures of the prophets. Okay, we got into prophets according to the commandment of the eternal God, have been made known to all the nations, to the Gentiles. That word nations is a Gentile. To all the Gentiles, leading to the obedience of faith. That's that obedience. The obedience of faith. Coming to the gospel. And the obedience of faith. Living the gospel. To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be the glory forever. Amen. I like to throw up here at the last, and what did we learn from this section? Attitudes and actions. Things that I need to change in here. Things I need to change in what I do. Accept what Christ has accomplished through me. My attitude must be Christ working in me. Not I, but Christ within me. Aspire to preach the gospel. And my attitude should be indebted in material things. I've been given spiritual things. Physical things. Okay? Okay, and then striving, things to do, striving together with me in prayer. By the way, our Wednesday study is a prayer time. Greet and help, okay, that's that unity, right? Watching and avoiding those who cause dissension, that's a purity. And finally, be wise and good. Innocent and evil. Close the prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you so much for this marvelous book. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you so much for the people you set in my path to teach me, to lead me in Christ, and to teach me the things of Christ, to establish me in the gospel. We pray that this book would not just be something we put down on a shelf, pick up the next book, but it would be practice in living the gospel life for others, Lord, that you might make manifest the gospel of Christ in us, to our neighbors, to our co-workers, to our family.